Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Durkin was not getting the gig, and Auburn was going to open up, and then Auburn pounced on Golish before, because Golish.
And do you think one of the reasons Lane waited till Sunday as opposed to Saturday was because he wanted to see if they'd make it to the conference championship game, which depended on Alabama winning? Or why?
I still think in his brain he thought he had cards to play to coach the playoff. I think that was his.
To that extent, I somewhat blame Ole Miss. They could have told him just early. You are not. Once you leave, you are not coaching. We don't have to negotiate here.
I'm glad you brought this up, because this is one of the points that I would make. I'm still not saying that this is an Ole Miss problem.
Right.
Because
no, it's mostly a schedule problem and a Lane problem.
Here was a factor that definitely played in and extended this thing much longer. Do you recall a couple of weeks ago when the playoff committee was asked about how would Lane Kiffin's
Right.
We don't have a data point. Ole Miss, Keith Carter in particular, started really focusing on, we cannot give them a data point and hurt our case for the playoff. In the end, they have to judge us based on the 11-1 record and whatnot.
So we need to give them, we need him to stay through the Egg Bowl.
Correct.
So we don't give him a data point.
Exactly.
All right. We're going to take a break. Grizzlies have been on a roll. Zach Edey has become a monster. We will discuss that with Chris Harrington when we return. Then we'll do the fight song roundup, more college football talk after that. Jeff Calkins Show on a Monday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Chris Herring joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is I Want to Drive the Zamboni by 1990s era Minnesota roots rockers, the Gear Daddies. Send that out to Thomas Isolo, who's gotten the pleasure of driving the big Zamboni to a three-game winning streak. We learned during the streak that Zach Edey prefers the nickname the big Zamboni. And I think we can all agree Zach Edey can be called whatever he chooses to be called.
So nickname. Do we know how long that the big Zamboni has been out there? You referenced Big Maple also in your piece today.
I mean, on the broadcast, they started calling him the Big Maple last season. And I guess at some point he piped up recently and said, actually, I like the name the Big Zamboni, which I'd never heard of before. He played 4 years at Purdue, was two-time college player of the year. I never heard the Big Zamboni. Yeah. And like, so now he's the Big Zamboni. And like, sure, man, when you're putting up 32, 17, and 5 or whatever, like, whatever, like, you pick your name.
Zamboni's a better name, Annie. Anyway, Big Maple is no. Big Zamboni is a tremendous name.
You got the Canada aspect. You got the Z aspect. So the Zach Edey Zamboni. Yeah, no, it's good.
And a Zamboni kind of, you know, clears the way, too. Like, so I like the Zamboni. I like the Big Zamboni. It's kind of astounding, though. Like, you have been a Zach Edey proponent since before he was drafted. And when the whole world, okay, that's an exaggeration, it's talk radio, wanted to fire Thomas Isolo, you said, maybe let's wait till the big Zamboni got back before we fire Thomas Isolo. And so we expected him to have an impact. But this is kind of nuts. Like, right over the last week, he looks like the third best big in the league. I mean, it's been ridiculous. Yeah. I'm joking, of course, but
he's been awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is definitely a little much. I guess a few things I would say. I thought coming out of last season, and I think I said or wrote this somewhere, I can never remember, but I certainly thought coming out of last season before that ankle surgery, I think we started this in the show. Like, what's the number one thing that, you know, gives you hope for the Grizzlies next season? And for me, my number one was a big leap from Zach Edey.
Right.
I thought that that there was a chance for him to take a big year two leap. Now, when he had, wasn't reconstructive, it was when he had stabilization surgery on his ankle at 7'4", 300 pounds, I tapped the brakes on that expectation because I didn't know what to expect from him when he came back. Well, he's been all I thought he might could be before that surgery and more since he's been back. And there just aren't guys like him. Like, Wimby is better, right?
Yes.
And Wimby's a better athlete.
We can grant that, I think, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So Wimby's better. Wimby's a better athlete. He's a little bit longer and a lot more athletic. But when you combine length plus mass plus strength, like, there just aren't guys like this. And it's one thing if, like, you can't play and you're just, like, a big oaf, which is what a lot of people thought he was going to be, which I thought was just wrong. I thought the people who thought that, like, stopped watching him, like, in his junior year of college and didn't watch him his senior year where he was a lot better, a lot more mobile. But when you're that big and you can actually move and you actually have skill, it is a mismatch advantage against almost everybody. There just aren't guys like this. And he changes everything. They didn't change everything, but he changes some things dramatically. And you could argue, like, is he the best player, the second best player, the third best player, whatever. He can be the most impactful player because of how unique he is, even if he's not necessarily the best player, you know?
Right. I mean, it really is sort of, I mean, he's not Wemby because he's not. It is kind of it's kind of Yao Ming-ish, though. I mean, like,
it is a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. If you squint, it's a little Yao Ming-ish.
I think there was a skill level there that's like a different, you know, as a passer in addition, a shooter and all kinds of stuff. So he's not that level of skill, but he's more powerful. He's more intimidating. He's probably stronger, like pure strength, than Yao was. And so, like, you subtract a little bit of the offensive skill, but you add a little bit more in terms of intimidation factor and just pure power. Like, there's a chance that he is, like, you know, it's possible he's an all-star player. Yeah. And even if he's not, like, Steven Adams never made an all-star game, but, like, he was a guy who, like, your team just got dramatically better with him out there. That's what Edie looks like, definitely.
In terms of the, he seems to enjoy being a physical player too. Like, I like that about him. But then the thing that was always mystifying to me last year, and obviously after the coaching change, we already, and one of the reasons it was easier to not, whatever it was, we were looking forward to this year is because he was already more impactful under Isolo's system than he had been under Taylor Jenkins' system. But I was mystified last year because the finishing was so tentative and awkward and like last night, that was every bit of what we saw at Purdue. Some of the catches that he was making and the finishes, well, like it was
that was the number one reason why I thought he might have a big leap in year two, because that stuff for him seemed below his capability if you watched him that senior year at Purdue. And it felt like if you get more comfortable and you get a little bit stronger, that was something that was going to come around offensively.
And it certainly has. So my son Peter, who was always a little bit of an Edie skeptic, he is now sending me the following stats, pointing out that the Grizzlies starting lineup, that massive starting lineup that they start now, is net rating is plus 25.1. The Thunder starting lineup, and all of this is, of course, sample size or whatever. Thunder without J-Dub, net rating is plus 18. And the defensive rating, and you would imagine that they would suffocate people, is 92.4. The Thunder starting defensive rating is 105. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, no, I mean, that lineup, once Edie comes back more mobile defensively in particular, which I think you've seen, that lineup should be awesome on defense. And it has been awesome on defense.
Yeah.
Now, you're still not – I'm sort of writing about this today in my column today about, you know, I think there's going to be this question that's going to emerge over the next week. Like, can John Morant reintegrate into this thing that's working without him? But the reality is that they don't need him – they don't need to just stay what they've been and add John Morant to it. They need to transform again. Like, Edie transformed them, and getting Morant and then Ty Jerome back needs to transform them again. They need to take another step forward because they're not getting anything in transition. The offense, like, they've been great in the clutch and pulling out these games, but the offense hasn't been great. They need to integrate the great things that Edie has brought to them with some better offense they can get from, like, having real guards. But he, I mean, really, the big thing is, hasn't only been this, but the big thing has been the rebounding. Like, he just transformed them from actually kind of decent rebounding team without him to just a dominant rebounding team. And they've been the best defensive rebounding team in the league since he's been back. And that's kind of what it starts with. Like, if you really dig into it, the opponent shooting numbers aren't that much better. The turnover numbers in terms of forcing turnovers not that much better. It's just that they just put the clamps on the boards. Huh. And when you just, like, get every rebound, like, that really goes a long way. And so I think the dominant rebounding, and they've been really good down the stretch of games. They've gotten better over the course of games and finished games strong. If you want to tap the brakes on it, there are reasons to tap the brakes, right? I mean, they're winning close games against bad teams.
Yeah.
And Edie has sort of gotten a fortunate break on the schedule in terms of matchups. You know, he's facing
Sabonis. Yeah.
Zubac with the Clippers.
Right.
And he had 5 points in that game.
Yeah.
He also had 19 rebounds and, like, 4 blocks or whatever, but he also had 5 points. I think the Clippers, like, took the lob away in that game. But, you know, he's played the Spurs without Wemby. He's played the Kings twice without Sabonis. The Pelicans, what have you. He only played 6 minutes against Jokic when they came out of that game.
Right.
But he's been great, and the team is just so much more solid. And I think him solidifying the team has gotten them sort of believing in themselves a little bit more. And you can see the togetherness and the spirit and the execution and sort of that belief down the stretch of games. And that's something as a fan you like to see. If you're in a close game in the fourth quarter on the road, right, and like you have confidence your team is going to make plays to pull it out. And that's been growing, you know, over the last couple of weeks.
Right. And all of a sudden now everything isn't a crisis. When so should it be that big a task to reintegrate Ja into this? I mean, I would think, well, I would honestly, given that the whole structure of this was going to be around Ja and Edie, you would actually think it would be a pretty natural fit.
I mean, which Ja are you going to get, right? I mean, that's been the mystery for years at this point. Ja should, ideally, I'm not even talking about like instant all-NBA Ja. I'm talking about like what is a reasonable expectation, right? I mean, they have, over these eight games since Edie's been back, they're 29th in fast break points per game. You know, that's not surprising when you have like a mammoth front line and Vince Williams as your point guard.
Right.
But Ja Morant should be able to get them a few easy buckets during the game, like to juice the fast break play a little bit. He should be able to make Edie a more consistent scorer. I mean, Edie had 32 last night, career high. He had 5 against the Clippers, right? I think having Ja Morant should actually weaponize Edie a little bit more as a scorer. You should get more lobs for Edie in that way. You should be able to have a pecking order thing where, you know, as one guy comes in, you push guys down, and you're a little bit more solid across your lineups for 48 minutes. The question to me is, like, how much is the defense going to hurt when you go from Vince Williams to Ja Morant? And is Ja going to – is he going to shoot well, or at least not shoot as much, right? Are you going to have some, you know, 1 of 8 three-point shooting games where he's trying to force shots up because he feels like he needs to get his shot?
What they're going to need is Zach Kleiman to tell him to not shoot, just like he told Dylan Brooks.
Right.
No, I'm just kidding. Right. Just like he once allegedly told Dylan Brooks. No.
We'll see. There'll be a real microscope on that. But my point is just that it's not about keep doing what you're doing, don't mess it up, Ja. They need Ja to make it better in some ways.
So the players around Zach Edey, what have we seen from Jaren?
You know, Jaren has had some bad patches. Certainly he was not good in the first half last night.
Yep.
But he's been really good in the fourth quarters. If you look at these three games, the Grizzlies have, I think they're plus 30-something points over the course of the fourth quarters of the last three games. And Jaren is the top of the list. Like they're plus, I look at this, so plus 34 in the fourth quarter with Jaren on the full floor, plus 32 with Edie in the fourth quarters. They're the co-leading scorers in the fourth quarters of these games. I mean, he came up big. I can't remember, was that New Orleans or Clippers or both? He came up big. And then last night, I mean, Edie was the main guy. But Jaren had 6 points in the fourth and 2 dunks. And so I think Jaren has had some bad patches, but he's had some really good patches too. And he's contributed to that, like, let's tighten it up and let's dominate these closing stretches of these games. I think he's been a positive contributor to that.
And then how, as they, when all they have to sort this all out, how do you think it sorts out for Vince and for Cam, who've both been really much better probably than would have been imagined?
Yeah, I mean, John Conchard's been the 10th man. And so it's easy to imagine Morant starts and then Vince Williams slips sort of into that Conchar role, or he slips into the KCP role and KCP slips into the Conchar role, that kind of thing. It wouldn't surprise me if instead of like this 9.5 man rotation, you look up and it's a 10.5 man and you know, he's trying to play a little bit more. Eastlow has gone away from some stuff. He's adjusted, as he has said, like he said this from the jump. These are things I believe in. I'm willing to do things differently if the circumstances dictate it. And he's adjusted away from a lot of stuff. The way they're playing is not what he envisions in his head with this roster, but he also hasn't had the roster available. And so I think, you know, they could play a little bit deeper rotations as guys come back. And the reality is, like, you know, we always envision, like, when everybody's back, well, someone else is going to be gone. You know, they're just – I mean, how many games are they going to have everybody available? They're very few.
So the Grizzlies are now 9-12. They're ninth in the West. And it's funny, way back when we said if they could just hang around. Now, it's been easier to hang around. It's been easier to hang around because the hanging around has less been required than one might have imagined. But, like, they're in a pretty good spot, all things considered, given all the tumult.
I think it's unlike, I mean, things could always go wrong, right?
Right.
But I think it's pretty unlikely to me that they're going to miss the postseason. Right. I'd be very surprised, actually, if they missed the postseason. So the question is, like, okay, you're up to nine. Is there room to grow from there? And I think, right. You know, I think there kind of is, depending. The Warrior, that Warriors team is not that good.
And now Steph's out longer, yep.
Yeah, and Minnesota has been shaky. Minnesota also, it's sort of like the Grizzlies, have basically been beating the bad teams and losing to the good teams. I think, you know, those two teams have Steph Curry and Anthony Edwards, and John Morant is supposed to be that, but he's not right now. So that's the difference. But beyond that difference, is not much of a difference. And then Phoenix, man. Phoenix has started to slide a little bit. They are better than people thought. They just are. But they're also not as good as they looked early on. I think that was a product of schedule. Yeah. And so they've lost two in a row. They're at the Lakers tonight. I think one sort of secondary goal for me for the Grizzlies, attainable secondary goal, is like, let's still be better than the Suns at the end of the day.
Right.
Which I think is likely to happen. But you're still 2.5 games behind them. So like, let's get ahead of them and like improve that draft pick and also improve your standing at the same time. That's a good sort of like, you know, game within the game to keep an eye on.
Yeah. And the vision that you sort of described at the beginning of the season, which is, you know, muddle along without Zach Edey, get Zach Edey back, be more of yourself, and by the end of the year, be a team that is your best version of yourself heading into the, like, that seems fully attainable. Obviously, health and everything else could change that picture. But thanks very much, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. Yeah, with all the everything going on with the coaching situation, I want to make sure we celebrate what has happened with the Grizzlies. And it does, I think, cast some of the discussions that were had earlier in the year that seemed hysterical at the time, honestly, to me, cast them into some perspective. Maybe some of y'all who wanted to fire Thomas Isolo were a little quick to do that. Wait till he has an actual team in front of him and see what happens. Again, I'm not declaring victory here either, but like some of this stuff you do, I'm not saying you got to give 6 years to play out. That's what Ryan had, but some of this stuff you got to give a little bit of time to play out. All right, we do the fight song roundup, and we will do that when we return. We'll talk more about college football, more about the coaching carousel. On Monday's college football season, we do the fight song roundup, where we celebrate those teams that deserve to be celebrated. Before that, though, I will tell you, I was at something called, I think it's called Winter Arts Fest. It's a place where, it's in Germantown, over by the Memphis Pizza Cafe in Germantown is where they're doing it this year. And it's a lot of pottery and Christmas decorations. And Claire and I went the other night, just sort of as a festive thing to do. Support your local artists. A lot of good holiday stuff in there. Claire picked up a couple of things. And then I asked her, I said, because we're moving houses. And so I said, what are we going to do for Christmas this year? And she was very clear. She wants me to go to Robert Irwin Jewelers and get her gold hoop earrings. So that's what I'm going to do. And if you need to get some jewelry for someone in your life, they are having at Robert Irwin Jewelers a major sale. Engagement rings, anniversary bands, earrings, necklaces, bracelets, 30 to 50% off. Plus, over at Robert Irwin Jewelers, when you give gifts, you get gifts, including spend $24.99 or more, a 55-inch smart TV, a Nintendo Switch Lite, a Yeti cooler, Apple AirPods, all of that, the financing. Listen, there was one thing I did right last holiday season. At that time, I wasn't even told to do it. I just went in and I got diamond earrings for Claire. This time, I've been instructed. Now that she knows about Robert Irwin Jewelers, now she just sends me there. Head off to Robert Irwin Jewelers, and this is what I would like. Find something that's going to make someone happy for the holidays who you love. It is Robert Irwin Jewelers. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, 5 locations, or online at rijewelers.com. Fight Song Roundup when we return. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. We do it every Monday during college football season. Let's do it now, the fight song roundup. All right, lost in everything else, and it's one of the things that's too bad about all this. Pretty damn great season for Ole Miss.
Greatest season in the modern era.
As they win the Egg Bowl, it was a memorable Egg Bowl. It was a memorable Egg Bowl.
Started off with the unlocking or the not locking of the
the
visitors'
jerseys
locker
being stolen.
Room. Yeah.
Right, exactly right. The jerseys being stolen. Lane was peak Lane.
Peak throughout. Lane. It felt like every time they came back from commercial, Lane was getting interviewed.
Yeah, no. But what I liked was, I liked at some point over the weekend, Lane credited the noise around the team, the way the team had drawn together because of the noise. Like people sometimes say, call it a distraction. Like even in the Memphis situation, they wonder whether Ryan's flirtations was a distraction. Lane had the temerity to say it's one of the reasons the team
rallied. Yes, they were so locked in with all the noise.
They were so inspired by the idea that their coach might abandon them on the eve of the playoff.
Correct.
That they decided
in the midst of a playoff
harder,
run, yes.
In the midst of a playoff run, that they decided to play harder. So shout out to Ole Miss. Here's the thing. First of all, what do you think of Pete Golding?
So they were in a rock and a hard place because of the way that everything played out. Like, you found yourself not really being able to be at the front of the line. And I think what they decided was, we believe in the culture that's being established, and they believe that Pete's a big part of that. And I think that that's true. I think Pete very much helped their recruiting.
Like, well, that's the thing. So a little bit of this, like, you're going to, and whatever, I heard leaked audio from inside the locker room. Did you hear that? Like, whatever, when they
introduced. My wife was listening to it.
When they introduced him. So the players are going to love him,
yeah.
Right? They're going to love him. Like, just like once upon a time, Josh Pastner was like the people's, we're going to rally around him,
sure.
Whatever else. And I'm somewhat skeptical.
Once upon a time, Ryan.
Of that emotion, Ryan. Once upon a time. Sometimes that's not always the right guy. You know,
yep.
It's not always the right guy. Having said that, and honestly, let's be honest. Pete Golding's got to be the guy who follows the guy. Like,
yep.
that he probably will not do as well as Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin did better than anyone ever has in the modern era.
Correct.
Right? So
since the integration of the sport.
So he probably won't do as well. There's a reason Lane Kiffin chose LSU rather than Ole Miss. He's got to go beat Pete Golding's got to go beat Lane Kiffin.
And on top of that, 9-game conference schedule. Like,
yeah.
The schedule really broke in Ole Miss's favor. What I would still say, though, to me.
I was going to say, he is credentialed.
Yeah.
The guy was defensive coordinator under Nick Saban. Now, there were some people at Alabama who were happy when he left. He had a sort of a mixed record, but he won a national championship at Alabama, kind of helped transform the way they played defense at Alabama. And then he's a massive part of the recruiting apparatus at Ole Miss. So I don't think it's a given that he's going to flop.
No, I think the bigger question is how much of the money that
they were going to make available to Lane will they make available to Pete?
Right. And on top of that, like, was Lane driving the donations or was it more? Now is Ole Miss in a position where we'll show him? And
well, that's the thing. You would hope, if you're an Ole Miss fan, that you would give money out of spite. You know, I mean, like,
we'll show him.
This is what BYU's
doing with when Mark Pope left to go, of all places, Kentucky, his alma mater. Can't believe he'd do that.
We will show him.
That motivated BYU.
We're gonna jack up the money even more. And because now you got to go beat Lane.
Correct.
You know, so.
I believe that's going to be their SEC home opener, by the way.
Oh, my God. Will there ever be a day when Lane Kiffin is welcomed back to Ole Miss with open arms? Cheered, remembered.
Oh, boy. Because even John finished the season.
Even John finished the season. John didn't walk out before the Final Four.
Right.
But one can argue that the same thing to the Missouri game and the next year, whatever.
Right.
But that was a product because he was flirting. He had one foot out the door. But he didn't leave the team.
He wasn't trolling his own fan base on Twitter. Like, I get it.
Before leaving. When he knew all along he wanted to leave.
Correct.
I don't know.
That's tough, man.
Never. And by the way,
as our Lord and Savior Taylor Swift said, we never say never.
If you were an Ole Miss fan, I don't know, maybe you were calling Memphis fans petty for the way they thought about John. It's not petty. This is the way sports works.
Yeah.
Guy leaves you for someone else. It's not petty to root against them. It's your job.
Correct.
It'd be grateful.
Responsibility.
Nonsense. Don't be grateful for the season that he gave you. Be bitter. Embrace it.
He quit on a playoff team.
He has done something now. It is also true that the North Texas coach and the Tulane coach, one of them is going to be in the playoff.
Correct.
It's a different situation.
Your biggest rival.
It's a different
rival,
situation.
Like,
you're not actually, and by the way, you're not, if you are at Tulane, you're not recruiting against Florida.
No.
You're just not. Like, those players are different. Here, Ole Miss and the notion that they should have let him continue to coach, utterly absurd. Utterly absurd. While have it be an advertisement for LSU, working inside to take players to LSU? No. As soon as he leaves, you show him out the door.
Correct.
You chose to go somewhere else. Go somewhere else.
Correct. You're their coach.
You're their coach. Go be their coach. That's
right.
What you wanted to be. You wanted to be their coach, not our coach.
Correct.
Go be their coach. And if you wanted to be our coach, you could have left after the season.
Yes.
You could have coached through the season and left. Yes, it would have been whatever. But like that's.
But you didn't want to do that either.
Imagine what would you have said if one of your players had said, you know what, I got a better opportunity. Someone's offering me $12 million a year to go be the quarterback elsewhere. You would have called that player a quitter.
Correct.
Walked out on his team. Why is it a different standard for you, the coach, than what you would have said? And by the way, the other thing that irritated me the whole thing is all the Lane Kiffin apologists on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
That's nauseating. Honestly, they're all literally Lane. I mean, Nick Saban fired Lane in this situation.
For the exact same thing.
And now they're suggesting he should be allowed to coach when you wouldn't even allow him to be an assistant coach because he had one foot at FAU. And now you're going to be an apologist for him continuing to... That was nauseating.
Anyway. This is one of the grossest like coaching carousel stories of all time. Like everything about it is just like, ugh.
Is there, by the way... Is there some way to fix this?
I mean, they have to change the calendar, but for them to change the calendar, the schools are going to have to sit there and academics don't matter.
What would be the change? What does that mean? What would they do? What could they do?
Change high school recruiting back to the original February signing date, so after the season, and then make the portal in the spring.
And why can't they do that?
Because the academic side of it.
Then the players won't. and the players,
the academic calendars won't line up with
the players cannot be enrolled.
Correct.
For the spring semester.
Right.
But couldn't you say, fine, don't let the players enroll for the summer semester and have a summer training camp or something? Couldn't you do that?
Okay, but what about credits that don't transfer and all? You see, like,
the other thing I'd heard is that conferences, they probably won't do this, but conferences could put in a rule saying you may not, the NFL does this, you cannot go hire a coach from someone else in our conference till after everyone's season is done.
Yep. I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Because it disadvantages, they won't agree.
Well, and theoretically, every NFL job is on paper the same.
And obviously, you can't do this, I mean, you can't do this nationwide for the same reason that you can't, they try, mind you, they try to limit player rights all yep. they possibly can. But the reason that you haven't been able to, in the end, effectively restrict player movement is because it's an antitrust violation. And it would be the same thing for if you tried to limit coaches' movement. And so that's where we are. Anyway, it all somewhat obscures the glorious season from Ole Miss. How do you believe Ole Miss will be dinged? I don't think so.
I don't think they're going to be dinged. I think it's going to be really tough to ding an 11-1 team that's going to have all their players, because then if you ding them, you're kind of...
And they'll get a home game?
They're going to get a home game, yeah. And then on top of that, it's like, are you going to ding the team that has to play them? Like, part of the problem with last year's playoff, like, they dinged Ohio State so much
right.
that Oregon was left to have to deal with
the consequences. Yeah. Right. All right, next. It makes me sad that Vandy's not going to go to the playoff. I will say this. I look at the teams that are not right now going to get in the playoff, and we'll get to more of these here, but they include probably Miami, probably Texas, and almost certainly Vanderbilt, right?
I think so, yes.
I don't count Vanderbilt as a team that could make noise in the playoff necessarily, but they took care of Tennessee. They took care of Tennessee. And I think Miami, Texas, maybe could make noise.
Like, they have the roster.
They have that. Like, those are two teams that are going to be left out of the playoff that if they got in, I think could do something. Maybe. Like, Texas was being dominated. We'll get to Texas here in a minute. They were being dominated in the first half. The second half was totally different. But
remind me of last year's Ole Miss, where I think their roster suggests that they could win a game or two. I don't think either of them are a national champion, but I do think their roster suggests they could win games, but their resume does not.
But when Pavia says Vanderbilt is going to run Tennessee last year, said it on a podcast, he then went out and backed it up 45-24.
24-3 in the second half.
First 10-win season ever. Ever. Like, usually with Vandy, it's been since 1916 or so.
Right.
Like, all our other previous stuff has been since whatever.
The Southeastern Conference didn't exist.
Yeah, no since now. 268 yards passing, 165 rushing. For the season, 4,018 yards. I don't know. I'm not mad he got an extra year. You mad he got an extra year?
No, I enjoyed every second of it.
I enjoyed every second of it. I'll tell you who didn't, Tennessee fans. And Tim Banks, who, by the way, you'll occasionally hear his name as connected with the Memphis job. He's the Tennessee defensive coordinator. Not a popular man in Knoxville this weekend.
Not popular. I mean, I don't know. I didn't feel like their offense was exactly holding up their end of the bargain either.
They just got smashed.
I mean, the other thing is, Pavia was bad in the first quarter.
Yep.
Like, they gave him 14 points. This thing could have been even more.
Pick. Yep. Trying to do too much.
Yeah.
It felt like he was pumped. Didn't it feel like it was a little...
It felt like he was trying to win the Heisman.
Yeah, he was trying to win the Heisman. Or at least to beat Tennessee in one series.
Yeah.
You know, like... but ultimately, absolutely tremendous. Shout out to Vandy. A lot of Vandy alums here in Memphis who I know thrilled, but I sure wish I now support a 16-team playoff.
I'm still on 12. You're like 12. The fact that it feels like if you make it, it's like a huge
accomplishment.
Yeah.
I guess the fact that there are legit teams left out there will be legit teams left out. Not, you know, and by that I mean Texas and Miami. It's what sort of has, it is what has won me over. Next. Were you texting Mark Giannato through this one?
Oh, yeah, because he went.
Oh, he was there.
Mark was there.
He
with
was
his,
in the big house.
Yes.
With his kid?
No, I think he went with his college friend.
I was going to say, I don't know if it's time yet. 27-9. I guess, listen, was Mark out there guarding the M afterwards?
He was not guarding the M.
He wasn't guarding the M.
In fairness to Mark, Mark has been texting me for like the last 3 or 4 weeks. This feels
killed.
Like a year where Ohio State's going to exercise some demons. Yeah. He was under no illusions.
They exercised some demons. They look just tremendous. They can run the ball. They got those receivers.
I mean, Michigan got the dream start.
Michigan gets the dream start.
Good pick. Offensive possession. Yep. You get the turnover right off the bat, and then you can't cash it into anything more than 2 field goals. And it's like, that felt like a mistake.
Michigan, in the second half, 39 yards.
Yeah.
39 yards. Like, it was kind of close. They were like, it was close enough through much of the second half that if Michigan could move, like, they'd kept the ball back and they'd do nothing, right? They'd kept the ball, they'd do nothing. And then they had the long bomb. And that was it. And it just, they utterly inept. Now, Michigan, you do wonder at what point Michigan fans will start wondering about their head coach.
Oh, I think they're there. I think he's getting another year, but I definitely think it is.
They were super young.
Yep.
And Underwood was not, he was not worth the money.
Okay, but like, I don't think it's a fair ask. Like, yeah, if you're going to just have a quarterback in the I formation and then you're just going to try to run the ball 45 times, right. Why did you spend that much money on Bryce Underwood? Like, but I mean, this was the other part, Jeff. I think it's 105 of their 139 yards came on 4 plays, or 163 yards. I think the best team is in Columbus, and I don't really think it's that close.
Well, that's the thing. Who do you think could, on a good day, beat Ohio State? I mean, hell, Texas was right there. Like,
yeah.
You look at that Texas loss now.
Yeah, I still kind of think that was the classic. Ohio State recognized
that Texas couldn't do anything.
Right, so let's not
need to put up.
Let's not force the issue, because they kind of did a little of that against Michigan. You know what I mean? They kept it between the man and the mustard. I'm still Georgia curious, because I do think Georgia has offensive firepower. I just, man, that's covering those receivers. Good luck.
They're so good.
Like, I don't. Carnell Tate is your number two.
Carnell Tate, that's who my sons want the Bills to draft, but he's not going to be available. He's going in the top 15. He's your number two receiver, and he's going in the top 15 in the NFL draft this year.
There you go. And that defense is unbelievably
defense
salty.
Is ridiculous. All right, next. Remember way back at the beginning of the season when Alabama lost to Florida State?
Talk about a week one result that you're like,
holy,
that makes
smoke.
No sense.
That makes no sense whatsoever. Did you think he should have gone for it on fourth down?
I wouldn't have. I didn't have a problem with it. I did think, just kick the field goal, man.
Just
like,
kick
it's
the field
fourth
goal.
Take
I the didn't, lead.
But if he doesn't get it, they still had all their timeouts left.
Right.
And if they don't get it, he thought they were going to get a quick stop and get the ball back, and then you can kick the field goal. But they don't trust the kicking operation. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that's the reason it wasn't pure balls. It was also,
right.
It was also. It was,
I mean, they've had problems there.
Fourth and two, 3:53 left. And they go for it. Alabama wins. Sets up a look at this. Alabama, Georgia in the SEC championship.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Everything,
Jeff.
Chaos everywhere. But there you go. All right, next. It actually, the truth is, I was rooting for more chaos this weekend, right? Partly because it would have created opportunities. Like, at one point, it looked like Oklahoma could lose.
Yep.
Right? It looked like Alabama could lose.
Yep.
And if they had lost, it would have knocked them out, right?
Absolutely.
And if they had lost, it would have knocked them out, and it would have created opportunities for Vandy. Whether it's Texas or Vandy or Miami or whoever it is.
Said the chaos we got was SMU losing, and with all due respect to Peter, 7-5 Duke playing for a playoff
now
spot.
Now Duke is playing for a play, maybe, I think.
I think they are,
if
but
Duke
I mean.
Wins the ACC championship game, do they go or do they take James Madison? That's the question.
Is there a path they could just take Miami?
I don't see. No, because you got to take the champions. Got
to
take.
No, you have to take the five highest ranked
guys for champions.
But I'm saying, could they just say, to get an ACC team in there, we'll move Miami up to like 10. I don't know. Oh, God. I was so mad at SMU on Saturday night.
Anyway, back to Texas. And this would have created, yes, if some of these others had lost, and honestly, I think Texas has a reasonable argument. They beat A&M, they beat Oklahoma, and they beat Vandy, and sure, they have three losses. One of those losses is because they scheduled Ohio State. Now, they also didn't look great against Kentucky. They didn't look good against State. There was a whole section of the season where they looked dismal, even as they were winning games against weak teams. So whatever. And you could just say, don't lose to Florida. You know, don't lose to Florida, and you wouldn't be in this position.
How is this any different than the position that
Alabama was in last year?
Or Ole Miss?
Same.
Don't lose to Kentucky. Don't lose to Oklahoma on the road. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's the don't lose
to
Florida.
I don't know. Like, did Ole Miss have wins over A&M, Oklahoma, and Vandy, the equivalents last year?
I mean, Ole Miss had wins over Georgia, the SEC champion. Mm-hmm. They had a win over South Carolina, who was 9-3. And then they had the LSU win.
Yeah, this is
no, I'm sorry, they lost to LSU.
This is three playoff teams they've beaten. Or not playoff teams. Vandy's not. Anyway, first half didn't look like Texas could do anything. They're down 10-3. Manning was 8-21 in the first half. And then he comes out. He's got the long run. He's got the...
This was a big play game. Like, Texas didn't really, until the second half, like, sustain anything, but they just got chunk plays. Like, they had four passes that went for 123 and nine rushes that went for 194.
Here's the playoff thing. Okay, if right now, here who's in, definitely, right? Ohio State, Indiana, Georgia, Texas Tech, A&M, Oregon, Ole Miss, and Oklahoma.
Okay, and how many did you name?
4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I named 8.
All right.
Okay. Plus, you've got two more conference championship.
Yep.
That gets you to 10. That's whatever. It's Tulane and Virginia.
Yep.
Right? Okay.
Or
that gets you
North
to 10.
Texas. Yeah.
So you only have two at-larges after that, and that's Alabama. Right now, I would believe it would be Alabama and Notre Dame. If BYU beats Texas Tech, then one of those is going to get knocked out. It really gets tight fast. And
I'm also wondering, I know we keep doing the whole Texas Tech, if they, I guess they're in.
I think they're in.
Yeah.
So, really, if you're, could you imagine, are Notre Dame and Miami close enough that they could elevate Miami over Notre Dame? I doubt it.
I mean,
so,
they did have a common opponent, and Miami beat Pitt by more than Notre Dame did.
Miami beats Pitt 38-7, so there you go. Okay, we got to blow someone up. Let's blow up the South. Let's blow up Florida State. Don't you think? Bring it back to.
Is anybody happy?
I will tell you before we go. We got to get out of here. Leaders Credit Union is where I bank. It's where you should bank. And by the way, they got the, you can save while you spend with the Compass Black credit card. Finally, Christmas time. It is finally Christmas time. And you open a Compass Black credit card with Leaders Credit Union, 3% cash back on every purchase when you sign up for direct deposit and 0% introductory APR for 15 months. That's no annual fees or limits this holiday season. Save while you spend. Easy for me to recommend Leaders Credit Union because we're absolutely thrilled with Leaders Credit Union. LeadersCU.com/ESPN. Jeffrey, what is coming up next on 92.9?
Jeff, you're going to join Jason and John next. Kevin Cerrito will be with me on Jeffrey Wright & Company. CJ Hurt will join us. David Cobb will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. Back tomorrow for now. Work is done.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.